Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to today's broadcast. This is episode 48, and you're listening to These Be Perilous Times, where we seek to understand not only the signs of the times, but how we must respond to the things which must soon take place. I'm Pastor Andre here with our host, Rabbi John Wesley, and this morning we welcome you to study with us and to engage with this word about the perilous times. Whether you're listening live or a previously recorded episode, we want to make sure that you take the time to get out a Bible, pen and paper, so that you can take copious notes and engage with what we're saying today. But before we get started, Rabbi, if you would open us up with a word of prayer, and then we'll continue with our Before Torah blessing with Pastor Doug. Rabbi?
Yes, sir. Father, we thank you. We thank you for not only the natural time change, but the spiritual time change. Thank you, Father, for getting us into a state of awareing what is about to fall this earth and how we are to prepare ourselves and how we are to structure ourselves in such a way to where we stand like the Rock of Gibraltar. And I see how you're desiring that of us, to be strong in the power of your might, to be fulfilled in your words, and knowing that no weapon formed against us can prosper, nor can it light upon us, as long as we are strong in you. So because of that, I ask forgiveness of sin, iniquity, and transgression. I thank you, Father, for forgiving not just myself, but my forefathers as well, on both sides of my family. I thank you that you've given us and given me the strength each day to forgive myself and to forgive others. And we and I make a quality decision, a choice, to forgive them, to not hold it to their charge, Father. I thank you, Father God, that you give me an opportunity to spend quality time with you each day, to walk with you like you did with Adam and Eve in the cool of the garden, to be empowered, to be built up in my relationship with you. And Father, in this special time, in this quality of time that we have, this precious time that we have, I ask that your Spirit, your Holy Spirit, separate the light from the darkness, not just only in my life and in our lives, but macroly in the lives of the people, both the people of Yah as well the people of darkness. So there will be no excuse, there will be no caveat that is given. But all will know the pathway of light as well as the pathway of darkness. We thank you and I thank you for utilizing this broadcast to propel the pathway of light for all who desire and all who want to follow you. In Yahushua's name we pray. Amen and amen. And I'll pass it back to you, Pastor Andre.
Amen. Thank you, sir. And before we go ahead and get into our discussion today, we're going to go ahead and open up with our Before Torah blessing with Pastor Doug.
Ruch ata Yahuwah, Eloheinu melech haolam, asher kishanu b'mitzvotav, yitzchanu la'asot b'divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Yahuwah, our Yah, King of the universe, who sanctified us with his commandments and commanded us to engross ourselves in the words of the Torah. Eres bendecido, Yahuwah, nuestro Dios, Rey del Universo, quien nos santificó con sus mandamientos y nos ordenó absorbernos en las palabras de la Torah.
Amen. Well, as we engage and get into the recap this morning, just wanted to go over last week as we discussed the process of perfection, and you heard several different catchphrases that were brilliant. Principles of promise. We also talked about process of purpose. But essentially one word or one phrase I can use is dying to self and the necessity for us to deal with the aspects of ourself, the weak aspects of ourself, so that we can become who we ought to be. One of the key scriptures we jumped to last week that was really encouraging is looking at Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, which says essentially that we don't have a high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. So in other words, Yeshua, our high priest, is able to relate to what it's like to be human. In order for Yeshua to be the perfect offering even, he had to be 100% man, just like Adam, the first Adam, in like form in every way. We talked about how Yeshua went through the attacks like a man. He was susceptible to the same issues that we are. We need someone who was able to understand us and be there for us in every way. Yeshua knows what it feels like to be human, and that's an encouraging thing. We have an advocate who is able to understand when we are tempted, or what it feels like to be tempted. One example we went to was Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. When Yeshua fasted, he became hungry. And the very fact that he became hungry was the connection point with the flesh where the enemy took advantage or tried to find that opportune moment, if you will. But when the moment that Yeshua felt hunger, a door was opened into the flesh. And we both, we have flesh and we have a spirit. The spirit is always willing, but the flesh is weak. And this is the perfect time. This is where the adversary wants to intercept and to get involved. At that point where our flesh is weak. It will never be possible for us to fully be transformed and to deal fully with the issues that we face, our weaknesses, without fasting. You heard us mention that last week. Because fasting purges us from the things of the world. It purges us from the inordinate affections and desires. It purges us from the perversion or the twisting or distorting of what was a need or what was a natural, healthy want, and tries to make it into something that is ungodly. Now, if we do not have a lifestyle like the apostles and like Yeshua, it doesn't matter our profession of the word. It doesn't matter how often we may say the right things. The word will not work for us in the way that it should, according to biblical principles. If we miss a step, we miss the power. And when we say we miss a step, when we miss the full component of what it meant to walk out the Hebraic gospel, to walk out the ways of the biblical truths, then we miss the power. And that's when the enemy takes advantage. So if we miss the process of perfection, we will not be able to attain the principles of promise. That took us to Romans chapter 8, verses 31 through 39. Again, we highlighted the importance. One of the largest principles of promise is fasting. In order for the promises to really be made full in us, we have to die to self. Fasting is one of the richest ways to deal with the enticements of the world, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, those things. In Matthew chapter 4, the enticements of the world were broken off of Yeshua. So that when the adversary came, the power that the enemy tried to have at that time was not available. Satan had no power against Yeshua because the enticements of the world were broken off of him. We have to ensure that we are breaking the fallow ground in our hearts to allow seeds to take root. And a major part of this rooting process and nurturing process is abiding in the Father, abiding in Yeshua and him in us. We will only ever have the words and not the fruit if we do not follow this process of perfecting ourselves in order to receive the promises that God has for our lives. So again, in conclusion here, this whole dying to self process, the process of perfection that we mentioned, is a necessity. And one of the biggest parts of that process is fasting, along with prayer. So Rabbi, I'm going to go ahead and pass it back to you at this time.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, sir. I just want to begin to add to that. I was up kind of early this morning and started a new devotional that I'm doing. And there was a quote from that new devotional that I want to start us off with, Pastor Andre. And it says this. It says, faithfulness in the heart says things such as, I want to obey correction. Yeah, even if it's difficult. I believe and I trust in Yah, even if I don't understand my situation. I want to be diligent in all things of Yah. And as I was reading that, Pastor Rhonda, the first thing that came to my mind was, you know, the personal situations or circumstances that we go through day to day. And in going through those situations and those circumstances, they try to define us. They try to limit us. They try to place us and our activity and our productivity in a box so that we can't get out of that construct. They try to say to us, you can go this far, but no further. They literally try to spiritually mask us and quarantine us, even though there's no disease found in us, spiritually speaking. They try to give us that disease. That's the spiritual enemy that we deal with on a regular basis. But faithfulness is something that we're very much familiar with. I mean, we all, as believers, are familiar with faithfulness. Even those who are not believers are familiar with faithfulness. Now, for some of you might say, well, wait a minute, an unbeliever, how can they believe? How do they have the ability to even be faithful? All of us have that innate ability that's a measure of the Spirit of God in us. How we use it is a different story. In our particular case, it's important because we often go to, and we're going to go there, to Hebrews chapter 11, which is very familiar for most of you. And we're going to read verse 1, both in the King James and the Amplified. And what the Father had been talking to me about, and I've shared this on other broadcasts, but it's one of those things that when the Father puts something in you in abundance, it's extremely hard to shake it, nor do you want to shake it, because He's actually molding and building you for future events that are going to happen in your life. So in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, we get the formula for the understanding of how faith and faithfulness will work. So I want to come from a familiar vantage point, but yet maybe not familiar enough for most. Pastor Andre, I'll pass it to you to read that particular passage at this time.
All right. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 in King James. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And Amplified. Now faith is the assurance, title deed, confirmation of the things hoped for, divinely guaranteed, and the evidence of things not seen, the conviction of their reality. Faith comprehends as fact what cannot be experienced by the physical senses.
Faith comprehends or brings structure to what and fact to those things that cannot be sensed with the five senses. That's powerful. And that's what the Father has me right now. That which we see, not only, and this is important, this is so important for us to really begin to grasp before things get more diabolical from a global scale, more constrictive from a global scale. When it begins to start crashing in on your day-to-day lives from a global scale, it's so imperative that we, that us, that I, not only grasp this, but begin to walk in this faithfulness. We are about to embark upon a time period, unprecedented time period globally, that will cause individuals from a grassroots standpoint to begin to walk in such a manner as Daniel and the other three Hebrew boys did amidst massive persecution. It's imperative that we understand that the faith that we possess and that we profess is generated from the Word of God in our heart that we have resonated with. The Scripture says, if you abide in me. So in other words, first I, in order for faith to begin to generate within me, I have to abide in the words that I hear from Yah, from Yeshua, from Jesus, from God. Not just the written words, but more specifically, the spoken word, which is my instruction and my sounding piece to let me know which way to go and what to do. I have to abide in that first. This is where the adversary really tries to come in and where he's trying to come in into all of our lives. Because he knows, he understands this concept extremely well. And he understands that there is a moment of spiritual silence before the manifestation begins to manifest. There's a moment where there is no physical confirmation that you and I are adhering to the Father and to his words and allowing it to germinate and begin to manifest what he promised. When, if you allow me to use this analogy, there's a moment down the road, down the righteous road, the righteous path, that you're driving at night, and then the lights go out on your vehicle as you're driving. When you have to really rely on what you spiritually sense and see and know to be. I'll say that again. That you spiritually see and know to be. So literally, your physical senses have to be shut down. And it's not something that the Father's going to do. It's something that you and I have to do. We have to stop relying on our physical senses at a certain point in this righteous path. And we've got to turn on and understand and follow our spiritual senses. They have to be more prominent. We have to be more sensitive to them. Because without that, hope cannot generate. It cannot help guide us and anchor us. Because hope is an anchor to keep us in our righteous mindset. As we begin to really see what the Father has in store, for these biblical feasts that we're about to embark upon, for those of you that understand the importance of those things. Satan is allowed to turn the lights off, to allow our physical senses to not just not be an aid to helping us, but literally, and we need to understand this, they become, for just a short time period, of course God knows that time period and we don't, they become a detriment. They try to put detours. They try to instill within us a doubt and unbelief in order for fear, instead of faith, to manifest. We've got to get to a place in our spiritual resolve where, regardless of what happens externally, that we are so encompassed, which is a good word here, with the internal compass of God, that it just guides us in the right direction. It shows us true north. Even when our physical compass is out of whack, even when we're doubting our own heart in certain areas of our life, God's spiritual compass has to be so familiar that when we hear his still small voice, we know him. We know what Yeshua is telling us to do in key situations in our life that are about to befall us. Now, we need to understand that the adversary speaks also. When Yeshua is speaking to us, the adversary doesn't stop and say, okay, well, it's the Son of God, so therefore I will just go ahead and leave. No. He's still in the business of waiting and desiring an opportune time. He's still in that business. That's what he does. But you and I, we are called to be overcomers. And we can't overcome until we understand and begin to manifest through this valley of the shadow of death, if you will, that's talked about in Psalms 23. How does one fear no evil? Well, it's very clear from that particular passage. The fact that Yah is with us, and the fact that his rod and his staff, they comfort us. Now, that sounds like an oxymoron, because if you know what a rod looked like in that day, you know that it had on one end a hook and another end a very sharp instrument. How can both of those comfort us? Easy. By when we are submitted to him and willing to be led by him, then he uses the more gentle approach. But when we become stubborn, when we begin to follow or desire to follow or to ponder following, even hesitation is rebellion. When you know to do what God has called you to do and you hesitate, that is rebellion. That's still the definition. No, it hasn't set in. But the fact that you hesitate gives the adversary the opportunity to begin to speak to your mind, to begin to have the serpent and Eve conversation that should have been nipped in the bud, not just by her, but by her husband that was there. I get it. I know, and I agree. here we are now. Faithfulness is desired of us. And that faithfulness is something that we have to ensure that it's being manufactured. And that space of time, that time of lights out, if you will, that's a time where the Father allows that to happen. We've, on this broadcast, we went to Matthew chapter 4. The Holy Spirit will send you to an area of lights out in your life. When you think that you have the ability to stand, and when you find yourself standing, but not standing in Him, the Holy Spirit has a wonderful way of allowing you to come face to face with the demons in your life that have been there the whole time. They've been there the whole time because we have not dealt with them in the manner in which the Father has said must be. In order for faithfulness to truly be a landmark in your life, in my life, we have to make it through the lights out moments when the Father allows us to be tested. Not tempted, but tested. What is He testing when He tests us? Too often we flippantly say, well, He's testing our faith. I want to go a step further and say He's testing our faithfulness. Because it's our actions, our corresponding actions to His Word, that makes all the difference. There's a cliche that says it makes all the difference in the world. It makes all the difference in this world. Corresponding actions makes all the difference in this world. It breaks yokes. It causes relationships to be mended and restored. It causes us to be restored. It enables us to have our spiritual lights on so that we can see the path clearly. It says the word of the Lord is a lamp until our feet. And it's a light to our pathway. So what's happening here? Why would the Father allow Yeshua in Matthew chapter 4, by way of the Spirit of God, to be led into the wilderness for the specific purpose to be tempted by the devil? Why would He do that? He does that so that you and I can reach for the lamp of the light of His Word in Torah. He doesn't do it so that we can fall in despair. He doesn't do it so that we can be punished finally for our disobedience and the disobedience of our forefathers. No. His sole purpose is the same purpose in which He did for you, Yeshua, for Jesus. When despair came upon Him, which it will and it does come upon all of us, then the purpose of the light of Torah begins to be illuminated in us. That illumination in us, it becomes ignited like in starting a fire. And then it begins to heat up the room, and the cold darkness of despair has to leave. It has to leave you. It has to leave me. the peace that passes all understanding begins to illuminate in our hearts and in our minds. And regardless of what the pressing persecution is, that's talked about in Romans chapter 8, verses 31 through 39, that we've talked about in the last passage, that illumination of faithfulness carries you and me, carries me through that dark place, through that valley, down one side and up the other side, until we reach the mountain of overcoming. And as we climb up and despair tries to take us out, we only with our eyes see what the Father has for our adversary. Psalms 91 is clear. Because by pressing into the purpose of obedience to Torah, we are immediately cloaked with his protection. Now, when I say his protection, we understand, or we should understand, that there are some that will be persecuted and even martyred for the name and for the faithfulness. Because remember, this faithfulness is not going to be popular. This faithfulness that we're talking about is going to be a very, very, very precious commodity in times to come. In times to come, the pressing upon your and my ability to be faithful, to trust him, and to have that inner peace when external things try to persuade, to try to press against your resolve. You have to have a made-up mind, but that made-up mind comes from generation of seeing what was and beginning to build, not in the mind, but in the heart, what we're talking about, which is faithfulness. Yeshua even gave us a hint when he said, when I return, shall I find faith on the earth? Now that faith is generated through faithfulness. That faithfulness is orchestrated, created in the heart. And it can't be created without obedience. It can't be ignited without obedience. You can be obedient to something that you still don't trust. But you can never trust something that you haven't first been obedient to. You can't trust a relationship if you haven't tested it with obedience. And when I say obedience, I'm not saying just your obedience. I'm not talking about a one-sided obedience here. Faithfulness grows when both parties fulfill their part of the contractual agreement. Faithfulness grows. And I'm talking about the faith of God here. It grows into, when it finally matures, it grows into trust. It grows into trust. Trust doesn't come through years and years and years and years of situations that cause an individual to doubt because it's so sporadic. Trust comes from firm confirmation of what has been agreed upon. Firm confirmation of what has been agreed upon. We are in a time period where we will be given the opportunity to test by obedience the Father's word that he gives to us. And it's a both. It's a both obedient. He must be obedient to his word, and we must be obedient to his word. Otherwise, trust cannot manifest. When it says trust in God, understand, Hebraically speaking, trust does not come by God not showing up. Think about it in the natural. If someone says, trust me, but yet there is no fruit for you to trust them with, then until there is fruit, you have to start at square one with that individual. Once they begin to show themselves faithful by corresponding action, and not once or twice, but habitual corresponding action, then trust comes. Then you don't have to have someone try to convince you to trust them. Their action defines the trust. Their actions, not the words. Their words should only do one thing, and that is cause you to take more note to their actions. Cause you to pay more attention to the fruit on their tree. And the Father God is no exception, nor is he looking for you to cause him to be an exception to any rules that he has made. When he says to us in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, when he says to us in that particular passage, though your sins be red like crimson, come let us reason so that it can be made white as snow. He is evaluating himself in that category of that discussion. Now, we too quickly make an assumption, but we need to understand that the Father evaluates himself as he is discussing our sin. He is checking to see if he has done anything or said anything that has not come to pass. He makes mention in Torah. He asks the children of Israel to go back and look to see if he has not, if there's ever been a time that he's not fulfilled his word. That's a self-examination right there. Why? Because he doesn't ever want us to do anything that he has not or will not do himself. Because he wants us to understand the faithfulness. It's not a one-sided faithfulness with him. He even told the children of Jacob, and I'm paraphrasing, but he basically said, you're blessed that I am faithful. said otherwise, because of your actions, I would have destroyed you. But I have been faithful to the promise of the word that I gave to your forefathers. It's a blessing to us that he's faithful. And that he checks himself. Paul says in Corinthians 13, for you and I to examine ourselves to see if we are in the faith. In other words, don't look at the words that we've said, but the actions, the corresponding actions to those words that are according to the will of God, according to the word of God, according to the Torah of God. God looks at his words, and he knows. When he created the earth, he said, I saw that it was good. What do you mean by that? In other words, I looked at the words that were creating, and I looked at the creation, the manifestation of the creation of the words that I spoke, and I examined them to ensure that they fulfilled what they were called to do. That's why he could say that his word will not come back void. Why? Because he's examining his word to ensure that his word does exactly what was spoken out of the mind of God. Pastor, I'm going to pass it to you to reflect on some of that before we go further. But I just felt that deep out of my spirit.
Amen. As we're talking more and more about faithfulness, there's a couple of things that you said that really that got me. One that jumps out right now, faithfulness is never popular, but that faithfulness is part of our test, and we can go back to the whole process of perfection here. Because we mentioned a while back, that the Father is testing our faithfulness, our corresponding actions to his word. And so we see that a part of the whole process of, I guess if you want to call it this, it's a process of sanctification, process of developing a righteousness. And a main component of that is faithfulness. Another thing that you mentioned, Rabbi, that was good to me was allowing our spiritual compass to be in order, regardless of what happens externally. We need to make sure that we have that put together. And I think it's really important, going back to the whole concept of faith, and sometimes it's a bit nebulous when we talk about faith, but when you consider the faithfulness component, it's being continuing. It's continual. It's a demonstration, and it's built upon the desire to confirm and affirm your covenantal relationship and loyalty with the Father through His Son and by His Holy Spirit. And we will be given every opportunity to demonstrate our allegiance to him. That's another way I'll call it. But like also what you were saying about trust and how trust has to be developed, but it comes from the confirmation of what has been in agreement of going back to that whole covenant aspect. In a world, it seems like everything is really, right now as we enter into perilous times, everything is going to be prodding and poking and testing how loyal we are to him. If we look at it as, if we can use the earthly demonstration of marriage, how faithful are you going to be? We use that word there, faithful in marriage. How faithful are you going to be in relation to Yah when you have external persecution and pressing from the world and peer pressures and different things? Our resolve, our walk will be tested. But one of the good things about who Yah is that he's given us every example through the Word. As we're reading in Hebrews 11, we even have the examples of others before us, their demonstration of faithfulness through the situations they went through. But he also gives us the moments in our lives to teach us who he is and what he will be for us. And those are the things we have to pull on. We have to pull on those experiences in order to continue to take one step at a time, one day at a time, in our faith walk with him, our faithfulness to him. So, Rabbi, there's been several things, but just the whole concept of faithfulness is very pertinent to where we are right now. I'll pass back to you.
Amen. And I pray that as we begin to embark more on a journey of faithfulness, that we understand a very familiar passage, and we're going to go there, but a very familiar passage that I don't think we totally get the full understanding of is Habakkuk. And I want to go there. Habakkuk chapter 2. In verse 4, we quote it very often, but I don't think that we totally get the full gravity of the picture of what was happening in the backstory. Because Habakkuk saw a vision of what the Father was allowing to happen to his people. And the Chaldeans, and even the picture of Nebuchadnezzar himself, and the vicious destruction of Israel. And the savage aspect of how corrupt and how evil the Chaldeans were, and that they would take everything of gold and all the precious items that were created during Solomon's time and just ransack the place, kill and destroy and rape and just all kinds of wickedness and evil. And Habakkuk was, he was more than taken back. Even as the discussion, trying to reason with God about why God would allow this, he was more than taken back. And he began to talk to Yah about the Torah and implying strongly, more than just a discussion with God, pertaining to why God would allow a non-Torah, an uncircumcised nation to do such horrendous, wicked deeds upon his people. And then we finally, and that's chapter 1, then finally in chapter 2, verse 1, he realizes that he went beyond the line of a discussion with God to an argument and was extremely upset and mad, angry with God, pertaining to a Torahless nation versus a Torah fulfilling nation. And I want to, although this may be a little bit long, I want to go ahead and have us go back to chapter 1 so that we can see these rich nuggets for what they are. Because too often we jump right into Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4, not realizing the backstory, not understanding and knowing the full gravity of what was happening in this time period. And then, in verse 1 of chapter 2, we'll see where Habakkuk comes to an understanding. And with that understanding, he begins to check himself. He begins to say, oh, I went way too far. So I'm going to go outside. I'm going to go get a switch because now my parent is going to get ready to discipline my actions because I've went past respect to the area of disobedience and disrespect in my discussion with my Heavenly Father. And then that's when the Heavenly Father, who gets it, he understands it, he sees past this disobedience. He sees past the frustration, the anger of Habakkuk. And he begins to let Habakkuk know that we have to write the vision on tablets and make it very plain for everyone to see. That those who are obedient to Torah, obedient to His Word, that they will have hope, that they will be protected, and that God will protect the remnant. Let's go ahead and start with chapter 1. Pastor Andrew.
Okay. The burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. Verse 2. O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear, even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save? Why dost thou show me iniquity, and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that rise up strife and contention. Therefore the law is slacked, and judgment doth never go forth, for the wicked doth compass about the righteous. Therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. Verse 5, behold ye among the heathen, and regard and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days which ye will not believe, though it be told to you. For lo, I raise up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation, which shall march through the breadth of the land to possess the dwelling places that are not theirs. They are a terrible and dreadful. Their judgment and their dignity shall proceed for themselves. Their horses also are swifter than the leopards and are more fierce than the even wolves. And their horsemen shall spread themselves, and their horsemen shall come from afar, and they shall fly as the eagle that hasteth to eat. They shall come all for violence. Their faces shall sup up as the east wind, and they shall gather the captivity as the sand. And they shall scoff at the kings, and the princes shall be a scorn unto them. They shall deride every stronghold, for they shall heap dust and take it. Then shall his mind change, and he shall pass over and offend, imputing this his power unto his God. Art thou not from everlasting, O Lord, my God, mine Holy One? We shall not die. O Lord, thou hast ordained them for judgment, and O mighty God, thou hast establish them for correction. Now, verse 13. Thou art of pure eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity. Wherefore lookest thou upon them that deal treacherously, and holdest thy tongue when the wicked devoureth a man that is more righteous than he, and makest men as the fishes of the sea, as the creeping things that have no ruler over them. They take up all of them with the eagle. They catch them in their net, and gather them in their drag. Therefore they rejoice and are glad. Therefore they sacrifice unto their net and burn incense unto their drag, because by them their portion is fat and their meat plenteous. Verse 17. Shall they therefore empty their net and not spare continually to slay the nations? And that was chapter 1 in King James Version. Should I continue and amplify that?
Yes, if you would, please. And then we'll go read verse 1 through 4 in chapter 2 in the Amplified.
Oh.
And we'll conclude with that. You don't have to read that.
Okay.
In the King James, is what I'm saying.
Oh, all right. Understood. Thank you. So here's chapter 1 of Habakkuk in the Amplified Bible. The oracle a burdensome message, a pronouncement from God, which Habakkuk the prophet saw. Verse 2. O Lord, how long can I will I call for help and you will not hear? I cry out to you, violence, yet you do not save. Why do you make me see iniquity and cause me to look on wickedness? For destruction and violence are before me. Strife continues and contention arises. Therefore the law is ineffective and ignored, and justice is never upheld. For the wicked surround the righteous. Therefore justice becomes perverted. The Lord replied, look among the nations. See, be astonished, wonder, for I am doing something in your days. You would not believe it if you were told. For behold, I am raising up the Chaldeans, who rule in Babylon, that fierce and impetuous nation, who march through the earth to take possession of dwelling places that do not belong to them. Verse 7. The Chaldeans are dreaded and feared. Their justice and authority originate with themselves and are defined only by their decree. Their horses are swifter than leopards and keener than hungry wolves in the evening. Their horsemen come galloping. Their horsemen come from far away. They fly like an eagle swooping down to devour. They all come for violence. Their horde of faces moves eagerly forward. They gather prisoners like sand. Verse 10. They make fun of kings and rulers are a laughing matter to them. They ridicule every stronghold and heap up rubble, for earth mounts and capture it. Then they will sweep by like the wind and pass on, but they will be held guilty, they and all men, whose own power and strength is their God. Are you not from everlasting, O Lord, my God, my Holy One? We will not die. O Lord, you have appointed the Chaldeans who rule in Babylon to execute your judgment, and you, O Rock, have established them to correct and chastise. Verse 13. Your eyes are too pure to approve evil, and you cannot look favorably on wickedness. Why then do you look favorably on those who act treacherously? Why are you silent when the wicked, Chaldean oppressors, destroy those more righteous than they? Why do you make men like the fish of the sea, like reptiles and creeping things that have no ruler and are helpless against their enemies? The Chaldeans bring all of them up with a hook and drag them away with a net, and gather them together in their fishing nets, so they rejoice and are glad. Verse 16. Therefore they offer sacrifices to their net and burn incense to their fishing net, because through these things their catch is large, and they live luxuriously, and their food is plentiful. Will they continue to empty their net and mercilessly go on destroying nations without sparing? Now go to chapter 2, starting with verse 1 in Amplified. I will stand at my guard post and station myself on the tower, and I will keep watch to see what he will say to me and what answer I will give as his spokesman when I am reproved. Verse 2. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and engrave it plainly on clay tablets so that the one who reads it will run. Verse 3. For the vision is yet for the appointed future time. It hurries toward the goal of fulfillment. It will not fail. Even though it delays, wait patiently for it, because it will certainly come. It will not delay. And verse 4. Look at the proud one. His soul is not right within him. But the righteous will live by his faith in the true God.
Hebraically speaking, we understand that verse 4 is referring to two individuals. One of those individuals is King Nebuchadnezzar. The other individual is Daniel. And the manner in which the way Daniel walked before his God in Torah and even was able to save, literally, to say, to convert Nebuchadnezzar to believing in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Chapter 4 of Daniel, and this is historical nuggets for those who may not be aware of this. Chapter 4 of the book of Daniel was never written by Daniel himself. That is of King Nebuchadnezzar himself. That was written by, and most scholars believe, and I as well, that King Nebuchadnezzar had his seven-year experience of being likened unto a wild beast because of his pride and arrogance. And that was the whole account of how Daniel not only prayed for him and fasted for him, but also ran the whole Babylonian establishment for those 7 years. Kept everything intact, kept everything working properly as it ought to. And then when Nebuchadnezzar came back to his mind and stepped back on his throne, a much more humbler man than before. Nothing was broken and nor was anything missing in his kingdom. We need to understand that what was written on those visions was Torah, and the fact that the Father would do what he promised. But the discipline, the punishment for disobedience, for not walking in Torah, had to be administered. It had to be dealt with. We're in an unprecedented state and where the discipline and punishment to what once was our United States of America and the world, it has to be dealt with. The sin has to be eradicated. It has to be punished. This is one of the main reasons why you and I, we individually, must purge ourselves and keep ourselves purged. We're coming up on Passover. And one of the main purposes of Passover is for Yah to pass over our homes, to pass over us. So we must begin the purging, the cleansing of our house, not just naturally, but spiritually. So that those disciplines, those punishments that are earmarked for this world, for these nations, will not affect us. And that we will find ourselves in Goshen, protected, covered, and thriving in Him and not in ourselves. Pastor Andre, at this time, we're going to go ahead and close, and I'll let you do your last remarks and share as far as the information for those that may want more information about us at this time.
All right. That sounds good. Wow, folks, thank you for joining us today. As we continue this next week, I just want us to be reminded of that phrase that we have from Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4, the just shall live by his, I'll say it this way, faithfulness. We need to make sure that we're going through the process of perfection, the testing and proving of our faithfulness. And as I say the word faithfulness, every time that song, Great is Thy Faithfulness, comes to mind. But may it be said of us that when we have gone through and when we've done everything we can do and we stand, that He can say to us, Great is Your faithfulness to me. And I pray that's something that we can think about, meditate on, and make sure that we are desiring and earnestly walking in that direction. So again, thank you for listening to us today and listening to us discuss the scripture in these Be Perilous Times. And we're glad that you've taken time to even study and to gauge and to ask these questions and to get involved. We encourage you to go back and study these things. Go back and study Habakkuk chapter 1 and verse 2 and see how God responded. I know we talked about Hebrews 11, 1 and Isaiah 1, 18. Go back and look at these scriptures. Study them. Like the Bereans, look and see what truth can be found in them. When you find truth, sell it not, but apply them. As a reminder, this broadcast is an outreach of Congregation Beth Hashem of Durham, North Carolina. If you have any questions about what we've discussed, or if you would like to receive more information from us, or if you'd simply like to leave an encouraging word, we would embrace that or welcome to do that, you can email us at office@breathhashem.org. That's office@breathhashem.org. To find out more about us, you can visit our website, www.breathhashem.org, and that's spelled BETHHASHEM.org. You can find us at Facebook, facebook.com/Beth Hashem Ministries, all lowercase, one word. And I also like to make a plug here for our college. If you would like a deeper understanding for our Hebraic, of the Hebraic roots of our faith, our college, Zakah University of Learning. Zakah means pure and blameless. We offer courses in Messianic apologetics and biblical Jewish studies. And you can view our course catalog at courses.bethhashem.org. Also, I'd like to give an opportunity for you to donate and to sow into this ministry. If you would like to make a donation to this ministry, you can contribute via Cash App, and you can contribute at www.cash.app/$BethHashem. Or you can mail your donation to our office at 2211 Shaw Road, Durham, North Carolina, 27704. Thank you for those of you. We encourage you to pray and join us in prayer for this ministry. And we appreciate those who have made a generous donation to us. So thank you very much. At this time, we'll close with our after Torah study blessing, and followed by the Aaronic benediction, and then our closing prayer by Rabbi. So right now, back to Pastor Doug.
Baruch atah Yehuah Eloheinu melech haolam, asher natan lanu toret emet. Bahaye olam nata bikokenu. Baruch atah Yehuah noten haTorah. Blessed are you, Yehuah, our Yah, King of the universe, who gave us the Torah of truth and set everlasting life in our midst. Blessed are you, Yehuah, giver of the Torah. Eres bendecido, Yehuah, nuestro Dios, Rey del universo. No has dado la Torah de la verdad y poner vida eterna en medio de nosotros. Se bendiga, Yehuah, dador de la Torah.
Amen. And now for our closing blessing that we sing each week, coming from Numbers chapter 6, a blessing for Yah's name to be upon us and for his countenance to go before us. I'll sing it in Hebrew and then recite it in English.
Yivarecha Yehuah ve'yishmerecha Ya'er Yehuah panavelecha v'chunecha Yisa Yehuah panavelecha ve'yasem lecha Shalom.
May Yahuwah bless you and keep you. May Yahuwah cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May Yahuwah lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of our Messiah, Yeshua, the Prince of Peace. Amen. And back to you, Rabbi.
Father, we thank you and praise you for all that you are and all that you're doing. And when I say all, Father, that means the blessings as well as dealing with the punishments for the curses. Help us, Father God, to understand and to learn to apply your truths in our lives and to apply the responsibilities that we have to walk circumspectly with you. Help us to appreciate the disciplines that you give so that we may find ourselves approved of you, following, walking in right relationship with you, and aspiring to be not just the children, but the bride that you're expecting in these last days. We give you the glory and the praise and honor. And until next broadcast, Shalom, Shalom.